together, Lord, to honor you. For all you've done and you prepare to do.
I went back and listened to the message from last Easter, and I was not tempted to play it this morning for you. Like I did July the 4th, I played the message from the year before. We had some visitors that morning that never came back. So this is live, it's not Memorex. But it was pretty funny. In fact, it was so funny, I thought I would preach it again, but then I thought, well, no, some of you heard it before, so you would be disappointed. But you never know. Yeah, open to Hebrews 10 this morning and Romans chapter 6. And we want to get right into the Word. It's been a great couple of years that God's been pouring out a revelation of how we deal with sin in our life and how God, most importantly, how God has dealt with sin in your life. Most of you don't have a problem with how to deal with sin. You have plenty of it, so it's not an issue. But it's not really important how you, well, it is, but it's more how God sees you than how you used to see yourself. And we know that the story of the resurrection, as we hear from many sources, is it's a time of new beginnings. And the book of Isaiah says that we're not to remember the former things of the past, but the Lord will do something new upon the earth.
Yes.
And that has to be the anticipation that we live with on a daily basis, not just once a year, but understanding that we're not living with yesterday's manna or yesterday's revelation, because God has something brand new to birth in us today. Today is a new day. Everybody say a new day.
New day.
It's the day of the Lord, and every day with the Lord is a new day. Every day with God is a day of new experience and new revelation and new understanding of the depth of God's love toward His people. That's what the kingdom is all about to me. It's the unfolding of God's love to His people. We start out with a little revelation of love, and then that revelation just keeps expanding to it's almost beyond our comprehension to understand it. It is beyond our comprehension. How do we understand and evaluate how much God loves us?
Amen.
And I know there's a lot of people that are concerned in this hour about what we call hyper grace. And there's a validity in that concern, because sometimes people do use grace for an occasion for the flesh. See, grace never takes away the point of responsibility that we have to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your commitment level to the Lord should not be less because of grace, but should be more.
Yes.
Love should compel you to do more than you ever did when you were under the law.
Yes.
Or in religion. The greater the grace that's revealed to you, the greater the sense in your own heart will be to be pleasing to God. In all of your actions and all of your deeds and everything that you do, you'll want to please God. And that should be the natural outgrowth of the revelation of how much God loves you. And it works that way in a home, doesn't it? If the husband loves his wife the way that Christ loved the church, the wife is far more responsive than if she is simply responding to a demand of the husband. It's like in a church. If the pastor demands of the people, or the pastors in our case, demand of the people a certain obedience or diligence or work ethic, but yet there's no demonstrative love towards the people, it's very difficult to serve under those conditions. So God wants to bring us into a revelation of what it's like to be smothered, pickled, marinated in the love of God. Marinate me, God. That's a good We ought to put a T-shirt, Marinate Me, God. Have you seen those T-shirts called Life is Good? Is that the right one, Sue? Yeah, Sue bought one of those the other day in the airport. And Life is Good, and I noticed a little R by that, Life is Good, is trademarked. So whoever thought of that's making a lot of money because they got Life is Good everything now. So we ought to have, some of you, ought, someone here ought to trademark, what is it, marinated? Marinated in God. Who knows? Maybe you could set up a kiosk in the mall. Make a lot of money. At least you'd get a lot of attention. Someone would say, what does that mean to be marinated in God? Well, that opens the door, doesn't it? The whole discussion. But this process of saying, I'm not going to remember what I was, but I'm only going to identify with who I am. That's the most radical transformation that you can go through as a believer. Now, we know that the doctrine of resurrection means just that. Because resurrection means that the Scripture tells us that we're all of our sin, it's transferred to Christ. Now, I'm going to consolidate a little bit of this morning. And I won't be reading a lot of Scriptures. I'm going to be quoting a lot of Scripture. And most of my quote will be the Muleshoe edition. In words, it'll have my own flavor. In fact, I think that I could rival Brother Francois' mirror Bible and call it Bill Hart's Muleshoe Bible. It could surpass him in sales. But this is how the Muleshoe Bible says. I reckon that that when I gave my life to Jesus and he saved me, that all my sin was taken away.
That's right. Come on.
And I was able to transfer all this sin that I had in my life to this one that had no sin, that knew no sin, who became sin on my behalf. And because of that, I ain't guilty anymore of those things that I used to be guilty of. No longer does my God look down upon me and say unto me, thou art a sinner. The Lord looks upon me now and says, you are righteous.
Amen.
Because I made you that way. Because I took your sin on my back. No longer you have sin in your life. But you're now free from sin. You're dead to sin. And because you're dead unto sin, now you've been raised with me in my resurrection to walk in the newness of life. Now, ain't that sweet? Now, that's the Muleshoe version. Okay. I don't want to tell you, don't want to say much more than that today because you won't buy the book. But that's how we understand them things up there in Muleshoe. And it's all that process of crossing from death to life. And we look clear back to the children of Israel, and we see that when God took them out of Egypt, his intention was to bring them in to the land that was flowing with milk and honey. Now, we could say that in the New Testament, that's a land of liberty, a land of freedom, a land of love, a land of unity, a land of power, a land of anointing, a land where the gifts flow, right? Isn't that the land that you desire to live in? This reason Christ has come to set you free. If you be free, then you are free indeed. Now, I know some of you get a little concerned about freedom around here. That's me. I'm much more concerned about the lack of freedom than I am about too much freedom. Now, I know some of you get carried away. That's okay. As long as you're carried away in the Lord, right? But Jesus come to set us free. And if we be free, then, brethren, let's be free indeed. But what are we free from? We're free in Hebrews chapter 10. It tells us this is what we're free from. Is Did I tell you Hebrews chapter 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 2. For then they would not have ceased to be offered, for the worshipers once purged would have no more consciousness of sins. We talk about this a lot because it's important to talk about it a lot because we understand that when God can take away the consciousness of sin, then you'll be sin free.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of sugar free stuff out there, a lot of fat free stuff out there, but what about sin free stuff? Sin free means that you no longer have a remembrance of the bondage of sin. The reason the children of Israel had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years is because they never were able to accept the fact that they were no longer bound by what Egypt had given them. And so they began to think about what it was like to be back there. See, when you're sin-free, you're no longer thinking about what it was like to experience sin. Did you know sin is an enemy of God? It separates you from God, doesn't it? Sin is an issue. It has to be dealt with. You can't just wake up one day and say, wow, I don't care how much I've sinned or what I've done in my life. It's not an issue. It is an issue until you get it taken care of. Who's the one that takes care of it for you? Hello? Jesus Christ. He is the sin bearer. He came to remove your sin from you. So it starts out in the New Testament. The first thing that John the Baptist preached was repentance. Now, this is what separates hyper grace from true grace. Hyper grace people don't preach repentance. They preach universalism. That it's okay that you can just do anything you want to do, anytime you want to do it, be anything you want to be. It's okay, God loves you. How many know that's a lie? Well, yeah, no, it's not a lie that God loves you. But it is a lie to think that you can do what you want to apart from God and escape the penalty. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. But how do you escape this penalty? You repent. So it means repentance means you turn away from the thing that's got you in bondage and you turn to the source of life. So if you turn away from sin and you turn to Christ, guess what? You're forgiven. It's at that point that your sins is cast as far as the east is from the west, where God will remember it no more. It's at that point that God gives you the right and the ability to have no longer a consciousness of what sin is in your life. It's through repentance. I found something in my heart this last week that wasn't right, and I turned into the mirror, and I simply made this statement. Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm turning to the mirror, I'm not looking to me as my source of salvation. But somewhere I have to make a point of identification with Christ. And I can do that through my eyes because I know that Christ is in me. Right? I just don't look up at the sky and say, well, where are you, God? Let me find you. No, I just look in the mirror and say, I said to the Christ in me, Jesus, forgive me for that attitude and that response. And did I cry? No, I didn't cry. Did I get sackcloth and ashes? And no, I didn't do that. I just said, forgive me. Well, I turned away. At that moment, I was forgiven. I mean, if a man sins, what does he do? He confesses it. And confession leads to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to liberation. So if you do make a mistake, how many know that even though you're sin-free right now, you might make a mistake here in the future? Okay? Some of you may slip up. I hope none of you ever slip up again. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. You can repent that quick. How long does it take to God forgive you? The moment of a twinkling of an eye. It's happened. Salvation is an instantaneous experience, not long. By the way, Eric, you were a featured guest on that message last year on Easter. Yeah, I talked about you a lot. Galatians 2:20 says, getting stuff wrong. Yeah, I said, is it important to have faith and to believe? Is that all you need? Is that all you need? Just have faith and believe God. I said, do you just have to have faith and believe God? And Eric said, no. I said, yes, that's all you need. Whew, that's all you need is faith and believing God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What do you mean, is that all you need? Yeah, faith will move a mountain. What do you mean, just how to believe? Yeah, Abraham believed God. Served him pretty good, didn't it? He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God marked his book. God pulled out his book and said, hey, I'm going to make Abraham righteous. Why? Because I love Abraham. He was born on the earth, and so he deserved righteousness. Yeah. He only deserved it because he believed for it. Amen. See, you only get out of this what you believe for, what you have faith for. Just because you were born, does it guarantee you anything? Until you have faith. Till you believe. This isn't Obamacare. This is God care. If you believe and have faith. Galatians 2:20 said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Everybody say, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live. Now, take that to heart. What's the biggest challenge you have on a daily basis that you have to deal with? It's called I.
Yes. Come on.
See, if I is your focus, then you're in trouble. People that are focused on themselves, talk about themselves, brag about themselves, edify themselves, promote themselves, love themselves. They're not crucified yet. It's very easy to identify in my life when I'm living on the crucifixion side or I'm living on the death side. If I'm living on the death side, then it's all about me. If I'm living on the crucified side, it's all about him. My priorities change very quickly. It's all about him. See, as long as it's all about you, then you're going to be disappointed in what happens. You're going to be upset. You're going to be confused. But when it's all about him, when you pass from death to life, you're no longer alive. It's kind of hard to offend someone that's dead. I mean, you know, they remember that show Bernie? I mean, they just took old Bernie with them wherever they went. Flopped him all over the place. Kicked him around. Dropped him out the car window. Drop him off the car roof, drag him behind the car, and just kept on propping Bernie up, and nothing ever affected him. He's dead. Dead people don't respond, do they? I mean, you can just slap the fool out of a dead person.
Come on.
And they just sit there like some bump on the log. I mean, at least they'll respond. That's kind of the way Christians are. Christians don't get offended.
Come on, speak it.
Uh-oh. Is anyone here a Christian? We might be a remnant. There might be a remnant here this morning. Okay. But the Lord said that you can take all this and give it to me. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 ought to really be a chapter that we require ourselves to memorize. And My Bible says, believers deaf to sin in principle. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I used to kind of believe that. I thought, because it seemed like every time I really messed up, the next service I'd have a lot of glory. And when I was trying to do right, it'd just be like there would be no glory here. But if I just was messed up all week, then the presence would come. So I thought, maybe I'm supposed to mess up all the time. Maybe I can just be a good sinner and just walk in glory. I mean, maybe if I could just think of some new sins, I could get more glory. But then I read that passage, and it said that didn't work that way. I thought, my, I wish it did. Because it says here, if we died to sin, how can we live any longer in it? You know, I don't know how to tell you this, but when you're in sin, you ought to be really convicted. See, some hyper-grace people don't even believe in conviction. Now, I know that they don't believe in condemnation. I don't believe in that either. But I believe that you ought to have conviction over trespasses. All right? I mean, is it okay to do something evil and just say, well, that's okay, I'm just messed up. It's no big deal. Oh, I shot the guy yesterday, you know, but God forgave me before I shot him. The Lord in his omnipotence knew that I would shoot him in advance, and so he's already forgiven me. It's okay. Well, just because I lusted after that woman, you know, that's no big deal. God knew that I would do that. He forgave me for it 2,000 years ago. No, there ought to be a conviction in your heart over sin. Not to condemn you, but so you can have an opportunity to repent, right? So if you repent, it brings an instant floodgate of grace and mercy to your life. Where grace is not just something, well, I just take it for granted that I can just sin. And I'm not trying to get onto that this morning. God knows I'm not trying to revert back to my Baptist roots. But I will if I have to. No, just kidding you. Because if we really die, then we no longer have the desire to sin. So when that desire to sin comes back on your life, which it'll try to come back, then you need to say, okay, Lord, I do not accept that I am crucified with Christ. I don't have to go there again. I don't have to go back to be like a pig wallowing again. I don't have to fall off the perch. I don't have to go back down into the dungeon. I don't have to fall back down into the slop.
Yeah, come on.
I have been destined to rule and reign with Christ. If Christ be dead, I'm dead. If he be risen, I'm risen. Yeah. Now I'm seated with him in heavenly places.
That's right.
So I don't know if it's happened for all of us or any of us completely the way it should happen, but it's in a process. It's a process. Sanctification is an instantaneous thing that happens by faith, but it's also a process.
Come on.
Amen. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean you go back to works to get there, but it means that you have to keep pressing in to the provision of God. You constantly keep presenting yourselves as living sacrifice to the Lord. And then in that, there's a transforming of your mind. And the more you're transformed from glory to glory and from image to image, the less the pull of the gravitational pull of sin will have effect upon you. Sin is like a gravitational pull. It keeps trying to pull you back down into transgression so that the enemy can bind you up legally. The enemy has no authority over you unless you give it to him through transgression or through violation. But if you refuse to walk in violation and transgression and you keep appropriating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you are free from the enemy's touch. The wicked one toucheth you not. The wicked, everybody say it, the wicked one touches me not. You know, Isaiah 53, before I get into more Romans, I just want to say real quickly, it's a beautiful principle because And I promised all the ladies to be out by 12:30. But Isaiah 53, verse 4, he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Everybody say, borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. And it said, the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And even though on that Friday when he was crucified and he was so scarred beyond recognition where he was not even recognized because of the brutality that they laid upon our Savior on the cross, all of that was because our sin was being transferred, our destruction, our depression, our anxiety, our fear, our iniquity, our disease, our poverty was all being transferred to him. And it was so much so that at that moment when all that transference took place, that God himself had to separate himself from his own son because he couldn't bear to look upon that sin. Amen. And that's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because that moment of separation was real to him. Because all that was transferred to the Lord. Yeah. And he took it and died with it. He took all your sin, all your sin. Some of you are still living in depression and fear and anxiety and strife and lust and greed and pride, and you don't have to live there. Come on. It's confusing you and putting you in bondage, and it's causing all kinds of manner of things to come upon you. As I watch the Ten Commandments, and all manner of evil came upon. And all those things are happening. But it doesn't have to be your experience. Your experience can be the other side, that you were buried with him in baptism. Now you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Yeah. Hallelujah. All your sin has been buried with Christ. Now you're walking in the newness of life. Resurrection glory for you. Freedom from sin and bondage. Hallelujah. Do you love that stuff? Everybody say, I love it.
I love it.
See, we're no longer who we were, but all things have become new. We're a different creation. We're a brand new creation in Christ. Everybody say, I'm a brand new creation. How many like brand new cars? Man, there's nothing sweeter than to get a brand new car with leather. And you open that door, take a big old whiff. I don't care how many times you get it washed in the future and they say, would you like a new car smell deodorizer? That's not the same.
Yeah. Come on.
For once that thing's been used for a while, no matter how much deodorizer you put in there, it'll never smell like it did when you drove it off the showroom floor. I mean, my. Back when we had our business, I leased a brand new car every 2 years. Just so I could smell the leather. Say, well, that's kind of indulging yourself, isn't it? Well, when you get saved in Christ, you're in the biggest indulgence thing you've ever been in. Woo! You become a brand new creation. People get around you and say, smell that. Smell it. That righteousness has a smell to it. And the Bible calls it the aroma of Christ.
Yeah.
A sweet-smelling savor. Woo-hoo-hoo. It feels good, doesn't it? Salvation feels so good.
Yeah.
Woo. Some of you need a refreshing about every 2 years. You need a... Say, I need a refreshing course in this glory of God. That's why you, when you come to the house of the Lord, you ought to come in and you say, I take the blood and the bread. And I become a brand new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Coffey, our new husband and wife. Y'all stand up. Let's give them a hand clap, our newest couple, the Coffeys. Hallelujah. Dave said, I got a brand new bride. Woo. Hallelujah. There's something about something being brand new. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. They're poured out from heaven. Every day they come down from God. They flow like fountains, and they flow like rivers, and they flow off the hills. It's like honey. It's like milk that begins to flow from God Himself. When that cleansing takes place in you of the glory. Some of you need to have that new car smell this morning. Woo! I didn't pre-plan that either. How many is that? We know that's true. Woo! Have a drink again. Wow. That new wine of the kingdom. Glory to God. Isn't it amazing that Jesus started out his miracles at a wedding?
Yeah.
Turning water into wine. I got to read on. Verse 3, chapter 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we, everybody say, even so we, should walk in the newness of life. Everybody say, newness of life.
Newness of life.
You see, on that Friday, when all that sin was put upon him, he was the ugliest, grossest visage of a human being you could imagine.
Come on.
At that very moment.
Yeah.
But the one thing that he and the Father knew, at the moment of the greatest tragedy in the history of the earth, when Christ had to take humanity's sin, they knew something was coming. They knew Sunday was coming. They knew Sunday was coming.
Yes.
They knew that Sunday was coming.
Yes.
See, no matter how many times I mess up in my life, and you mess up, and all of a sudden you think, my God, what have I done? Open up your eyes. Sunday's about to happen for you.
Yes. Amen.
There's a new day about to burst in for you.
Yeah.
No matter how many years we've been, we might be 30 years next year, we'd be here. Or this church here in Austin. There's been a lot of Black Fridays. But there's been a lot of good Sundays. And there's more coming. See, no matter how much you think that you've lost, Christ took it for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a destiny for you. He's got an open door for you. He's set before you a door that no man can shut. He's brought you to the place that you're going to be free from the law of sin and death. Because he knows that when you die, on the other side of the river is life. When you die, freedom is coming.
Yeah.
Your death means so much to him because in your death, he says, now I can give you my life.
Amen.
How much would you give to have the life of Christ? What would you lay down to experience his presence and his glory? What price would you pay to walk in the resurrection power? What would you give? You would give yourself, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Would you give your life to have his life? For I am crucified with Christ, remember? It's no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
See, it's only through the resurrection power can we become and fulfill the destiny that God's called us to be here. It won't be because we preach theories and doctrines, because we have good smiles and we're photogenic. It won't be because we're tall or short or fat or skinny or ugly or beautiful or smart or dumb. It won't be because we have money or we don't have money. It'll be because we have resurrection power. We have an unction from God that only he can give. There's nothing that man can give you that will suffice you or satisfy you. It's only what God gives by his divine nature imparted to you that can create his will for you. It's all or nothing. There's a new lotto game out there called All or Nothing. Have you seen that advertised? What it means, if you don't get any numbers or you get all the numbers, then you win the money. I don't fully understand it. But it's, maybe it's self-explanatory. But the kingdom's the same way. It's all or nothing.
That's right. Come on.
We can't say, well, we want to have enough religion to where we feel a little better about ourselves. Or we don't want any religion, so we don't have to feel anything about ourselves. It's all or nothing. But Christ says it is all or nothing. It's either all of him or nothing. All of him. I want all of him. All of him. All of him. What would happen upon the earth if there were a people that would rise up and say, we want all or nothing?
Amen.
It's the kingdom or bust.
Yes. That's right.
It's either we get all of this, God, or we don't really want to be here anymore.
Right.
What's the use? Let's just call it the Cathedral Social Club. And let's have potlucks and socials and hugging and all that stuff. We don't really need God for that. Or would it be that we have a people that says, no, we want God. We want the fullness of the power of the Godhead body to be manifested in a people that can change the destiny and the course of the earth. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome that in the midst of a little place at 3406 Tarleton Lane, Austin, Texas, 78746, that there were a people that said, we want all of God, and he actually showed up one day in manifest power to where the place that we were assembled together in began to shake, shake, shake with power. And then great boldness would begin to fill all of us in great love. The evidence of the Spirit is great boldness and great love. Well, I'm just timid and I'm afraid to move out. You don't have the Spirit of God. Because when you die and you go to the other side, you're no longer your own man anymore. You're controlled by something else. You're controlled by the Holy Spirit of power. Hallelujah! And then you become a fool for Christ like Paul did. Because people that get filled with the Holy Ghost and power, they become fools. You're a bunch of fools. Well, I don't appreciate you calling me a fool, preacher. I don't know you that well yet. But when you get free from the old man, I can call you anything I want to call you and you won't bother you a bit. You just say, pop a top again.
Come on.
Slap me one more time.
Yeah.
Come on, take your best shot. I'm in Christ. I feel no pain. Even Jesus, when he hung on the cross, suffering the afflictions of a broken humanity in his own body, in his Bobby Connor, when he was there, caught up in the spirit, and when God took him back to that cross experience, he said when he looked in the eyes of Jesus, even though there was all this torment around him, in his eyes was perfect peace and perfect love. So in the midst of his death, he never lost his cool. Hallelujah. He just kept on looking to the Father. The Bible said we keep on looking to Jesus because Jesus is our avenue to the Father, isn't he? And because of Christ, now we have been adopted into the household of faith, whereas now we are called the sons of God. We keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And all the storms may roll around you. People may speak about you. Things may come against you. But your eyes are peaceful because you just keep looking to Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! You know, a lot of people, though, they just keep trying to keep on dying to the same old things. Let's read real quickly. I'm through. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with, we should no longer be slaves to sin. Say this. Point one is the body of sin is done away with. Everybody say it. Point two, we're no longer slaves of sin. So the point one, the body of sin is done away with. Point two, we're no longer slaves of sin. Point three, if we died with Christ, we believe we should also live with him. Everybody say, we live with Christ. Okay, that's point three. Point four, point four is death no longer has dominion over us. So it says in verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, that the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves, reckon yourselves to be dead. I reckon myself to be dead unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but you're under grace.
Grace.
Everybody say grace. We are under grace. Why? Because we are dead to sin. Now we're alive to God, and now we're under grace. We're not under bondage. We're not under death. We're not under the law. We're not under oppression. We're under grace.
Woo.
But what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. So grace was a great price paid for you. It's the unmerited, unworked for, undeserved favor of God. But it doesn't give you a right to abuse it. It gives you a right to serve it. So you serve love. You serve grace. And in doing that, you serve one another. Hallelujah. Because now I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to righteousness. See, our mindsets, we should, even though we maybe are failing in many areas at times, we still ought to keep reverting back, say, I know I'm a slave of righteousness. I will not present my members as a body. My body is a member of unrighteousness, but I keep submitting myself as righteous.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why Paul said, even if you do something, one member of your body offends, just cut it off. Hallelujah. In some cases, you'd have to stuff something in someone's mouth. You know, or maybe the tongue could be cut off. We have a cut-off room right in there after service if you'd like to visit. It's called the circumcision room of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I'm glad we're free this morning. Now, I want you to do something right now. We're about to close. I want the band to come up, and we're going to sing one final song. It's all, you know, we, JT, we always have a 3 points and a poem and a song. That's how we conduct our service. We haven't had the poem yet. But since we're running short on time, I'll bypass the poem this morning. But I want to, I know some of you here this morning are saying, wow, this is nothing new. This is passé, and we've heard it before. It's okay. I'm fine. I didn't really need this message. But there are some of you here that need to get free this morning. And I'm not asking you to do some altar thing where you feel like you've got to display in front of the congregation your problems. In other words, this is not show and tell. But I think some of you this morning need to quietly voice to the Lord a word of repentance. There's some of you that are bound by some things. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's strife. Maybe it's gossip. It could be all a myriad of sins. We're not so concerned about all the different lists. But there's some areas in your life that you're just not free from. I want to tell you this morning, freedom is not a long, drawn-out process. The moment you confess, the Lord will forgive you of your iniquity, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that sin will be cast as far as from the east and the west. And as far as God's concerned, He'll not remember it again. Amen. And He wants to take you and purge your mind of that sin. Purge your mind of your consciousness of the things that would limit you and bond you. So let's just all stand up and let's just spend a moment of silence. And if you've got some areas you're struggling with, I just want you to silently confess those to the Lord and just ask God to cleanse you this morning. I know there's areas in my life I need to confess right now, and I'm going to do it privately. I'm not going to confess it out loud. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Lord, cleanse us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that through your sacrifice on Calvary, through your death, through your blood, that we're forgiven of our sins and our iniquities. And I pray, Lord, you'd cleanse us this morning. And Lord, because we bring that to you today, we thank you, Lord. We're participating in your resurrection life. And that because you live, we also live. Because you're free, we're free. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you have a sickness in your body or pain in your body, by His stripes you're healed. Just lift up your hand this morning. We're going to pray for you. If you have a need for prayer this morning for your physical body, just lift your hand up. Okay. Someone close to those that have their hands lifted up. I know this new couple from Michigan, they got their hands lifted up. Let's believe God that they'll walk out of here today totally healed. If you got your hand up, just let someone pray for you here just for a moment. And just ask what the need is and just speak the healing to those that have need this morning.
Your love is forever.
so good. You're so good.